Hi guys, it's Nicole Amy Schreiber
and Jessica Michelle Singleton.
And we want to promote some amazing people today.
We absolutely do.
Particularly a man by the name of Ron Funches.
You probably already know him. You probably already love him. But in case you live under a rock and have not heard from this hilarious man,
he is a comedian here in Los Angeles, and he tours worldwide, so he's not just in Los Angeles. But he has an amazing podcast called The Gettin' Better Podcast. He also has a new show coming to Quibi called Nice One. He's going to be the host of it, so watch that.
Yeah, it's a perfect name because he's a perfectly nice is an understatement for...
He is the physical manifestation of kindness and joy.
Yeah, he's human sunshine.
He's human sunshine. He is the... Labrador, like it's just a happy golden retriever Labrador of a human being. Like that's,
I love that you equate all people to dogs.
I have to equate all people to dogs. It's the only way I see the world.
He's amazing. He's super funny and just a delight. You want to get some happy, delightful joy into your ears. Go check out Getting Better with Ron Funches.
And it's insightful too. It's not just joy. You're going to learn something. So tune in to Mr. Funches.
Hello and welcome to
Filthy
Nerds. Yay! I'm Jessica Michelle Singleton
and I'm Nicole Amy Schreiber
and we are your filthy nerdy hosts.
We're filthy and we're nerdy,
and there is at least two of us.
Yes. Well, with your personalities,
who knows?
20.
It's an innumerable.
Mm-hmm. She's a lot of woman.
I'm a whole lot of woman.
Speaking of a lot of woman,
yeah. So we're gonna talk about chapters 4 through 6 today. No.
Yeah.
7 through 9. But first, we want to address something. We briefly touched on it in the last episode, but it was mid-episode. And we just felt like we didn't address it enough. And more importantly, well, there we go. Everything I say is going to get canceled. We kind of missed just fucking talking shit about what's going on.
Yeah.
So we decided we're going to start putting a segment. I mean, this needs to be addressed because we're a Harry Potter podcast. So this happens to be our segment. But we're going to do a segment every episode now at the beginning.
At the beginning, for like 20 minutes,
yes.
We're just going to rip into whatever we want to rip into.
Run our filthy mouths.
Run our goddamn atrocious, filthy, dirty, disgusting, trash dumpster mouths.
So if you liked what we were doing before, we decided to go full nerd podcast. This is something for you.
Yeah.
If all you care about is the nerdy stuff, you can skip ahead.
But I would stick around for this. Come on.
Yeah,
you don't want to hear us fucking get mad?
Yeah.
It's the joy of our frickin' life.
Yeah.
I just said frickin' instead of fucking.
We're two friggin' filthy nerds, and I'll tell you something, you son of a
we're
gun.
We're a bunch of dirty birdies.
That's right. Okay, so obviously, we have to talk about J.K. Rowling.
J.K. Rowling, she...
Come on,
first
bitch!
Of all, thank you, J.K., for giving us the gift of Harry Potter.
I mean, truly a gift.
But people are calling for her to be canceled, kind of, because of what she said about trans women.
Here's the thing.
I'm going to read her tweet real quick. If you haven't heard it, this is what she tweeted.
This was the original.
Her original tweet was, people who menstruate. I'm sure there used to be a word for those people. Someone help me out. Wombin, wimpund, womud.
This was, of course, quote tweeted out an article that referenced people who menstruate in the headline. And boy, did people tear into her.
Tore into her. And she wrote back in retort, isn't hate to speak the truth.
Yeah. Okay. Don't condense it. Whole tweet, here's the thing, is that people are making this a black and white issue, and I don't think it's a black and white issue. I think what she said is inappropriate, but I don't think it's out of hatred for trans people.
Yeah, I don't think she's a hateful person.
I think
she might be very out of touch.
Yeah, older, misguided. And I have a theory that maybe if you overstimulate your creative brain, it rots your logic brain.
I couldn't agree with that more. I have neither. Both rotten.
And I don't know what part of this is logic brain or whatever. It doesn't matter. The point is, I think that people are trying to crucify her for having a slightly different point of view about sex and gender, when I don't understand why there's so much energy in that fight when there are people who are literally transphobic.
Yeah.
Because what she's saying, I think she wants there to be room for safe spaces for people who are born a biological sex to share their stories.
Yeah.
And there is a part of me that 100% lacks the communication skill to convey what I'm about to say without sounding like an idiot. But I empathize with you wanting to go like, this is great. We are all women. I would like to speak only with women who can understand personally what I have gone through.
I agree with that completely. I think there's something about the universal experience of growing up as a woman menstruating, as the things that come with being a woman going through puberty.
Well, that you're told from a very young age as a woman versus coming out later in life.
Yeah.
And then, you know, a lot of people are coming out earlier and earlier. So hopefully, you know, they, you know, and unfortunately this isn't always the case that you get to be in a situation where you're supported and getting to have those conversations with your family and people are looking out for you and telling you things you have to worry about now as a woman, as a trans woman, as a trans person in the world. But yeah, the perspective of someone who grew up maybe her age specifically, where there was a lot less conversation around gender stuff, a lot less people coming out publicly as transgendered. And you just want to be able to share space with people who physically embody you and your experience are similar to the physical embodiment of what you go through.
She had this new tweet, which emerged on June 6th. So that other one was from a while back. That other one was from like last year. Sorry.
Yeah.
We're working on new sounds.
That was not from last year. That was from a few weeks ago. And then in
this one was from a few weeks ago.
Here's the thing. She said something a while ago.
Okay.
People are going on and on about how she's a TERF, which is trans exclusionary radical feminist.
So here's the thing she tweeted on June 6th. If sex isn't real, there's no same sex attraction. If sex isn't real, the lived reality of women globally is erased. I know and love trans people, but erasing the concept of sex removes the ability of many to meaningfully discuss their lives. It isn't hate to speak the truth.
Here's what I don't understand, and maybe she's responding to the global attack of her. Are people trying to erase sex? Okay, some people maybe are. Here's a thing I had a problem with. I had a problem with both sides of this. During the Women's March, there were women wearing hats sewn to look like pussies. First problem. What are you fucking doing? You want to be taken seriously. Like, if men were marching for rights and came up to you with a dick on their head, you'd be like, sorry, do you, what are you, what is going on?
Yes.
Is this
hilarious?
An equality march or a lesbian bachelorette party? What's going on? But there were people going, you shouldn't be wearing those hats because some women don't have vaginas. Absolutely true.
Some women don't have vaginas.
Absolutely true that there are, you know, trans women who do not have vaginas. I love them. I support them. They are women too. I am not going to pretend I don't have a vagina because other people don't have one. Where's the gray area on that? That I'm just supposed to never mention my pussy because it makes someone who doesn't have one uncomfortable? So I see how that thought could then spiral into, are you trying to erase women? So if someone goes too deep into that thought.
It's like also, if there are women who aren't able to have children and there are women who do have children, are those women not allowed to post pictures of their children then? If that's the same rationale you want, if it excludes women by wearing a pussy hat, trans women who don't have fucking pussies, does it exclude women, just in a different analogy, does it exclude women who, is that being insensitive if a woman posts pictures of her kid?
And are like, is like, especially if she's like, look what I made. It's like, that's a, what a joy of a woman to be able to create this life. Is that then insensitive?
Yeah.
And maybe it is. I don't, it's, but it's hard to wrap, it's, I just understand how someone could go, well, is what's going on you trying to erase the story of my experience as someone with a vagina.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of it comes down to semantics.
I think it's majority of this is semantics.
But the problem is someone in a celebrity light, and maybe it's not just celebrities, it's anyone who, you know, the majority internet gets hold of is nobody allows for error.
No.
Like, where are the people in J.K. Rowling's comments trying to go, let's have a conversation about why this is hurtful and maybe meet you at where you're feeling hurt.
Yeah.
And try to find a common ground.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Because, I don't know, If she's like scared that women's stories are being erased, that's sorry for you to just go, fuck you, you're transphobic, and not even address it. Like, this is a human who's scared.
Yeah.
Well, how progressive are you?
I don't, it really bothers me that there's people who are calling for, like, you know, her, people want to cancel her.
Well, it's also people going, like, I will never share the story of Harry Potter with my children. It's like, you're going to deny your kids one of the greatest stories of all time because an older woman is using the wrong verbiage or is misguided, but has clearly stated, like, she's always been pro LGBT. As far as I know, she's donated via charity. And if I'm wrong on that, tell me to go fuck myself. That was my impression. And maybe she's not directly affiliated with, like, the HP Alliance and other things like that that are Harry Potter-themed organizations for the gay community. But I don't know. It's like,
to those people, I'm just like, all right, if I ever hear you so much as fucking humming a song from Michael Jackson, go fuck yourself.
Truly, that it's like you want to light someone up and look, I've never understood, like, when people go separate the art from the artist, and I'm like, no, fuck you, they're a child molester. But now, yeah. I'm sure it's the same people attacking, you know, Michael Jackson, Woody Allen, which, like, 100%, I'm with you. But it's like, you got to go all in. And this doesn't feel like a thing you need to go all in on. This feels like a conversation that needs to be had. Mm-hmm. Because whether you like it or not, just telling someone you disagree with who has said something hurtful, fuck you, you're wrong, is not progress.
That just closes the door on anything great happening.
You cannot make progress without difficult conversations. And, like, this bleeds over into, I mean, you know, obviously she's not American, but into, like, election stuff, that you can't just tell someone who doesn't agree with your candidate they're a fucking idiot and go fuck yourself, you're insensitive, which, even if those things are true, and you should call people out on stuff like that, but, like, that's not gonna get the person you're trying to get in office votes.
No.
Like, if what you actually want is progress,
you can't keep closing a door to dialogue.
No, you have to be able to have those conversations. And I understand that people being too emotional to have a conversation, clearly. I understand reacting with your emotions, and I've done it, gone, all I can do is go, fuck you. And I'm trying to learn, and I think I've got better at going, I'm going to back out of this conversation right now because I cannot think rationally and have a discussion about it because I'm so upset in the moment. But we can't progress without those conversations.
No.
Like, nobody changes if you just tell people you don't agree with to go fuck themselves. I'm blocking you. Fuck you.
I also think on some level, because we did say it was semantics, like, if you can hash that out real easy. Like, you could get to the bottom of things real quickly if you just are like, oh, this is what I meant. This is what I meant. I didn't mean it like that. Oh, I didn't mean it like that. Oh, you're just using a different word for we have the same understanding. You know, She said, if there's no sex, then there's no same-sex relationship.
Which is very interesting.
Which is true then. If there's no sex, then there's no such thing as being gay or being a lesbian, because we're all genderless creatures.
But, like, is she responding to what is actually going on, or is she responding to a fear that that is what the progression of gender, you know, gender culture is leading to?
Yeah.
Like, is that even a real thing? Did she see one article? Like, are the large group of, like, the majority of transgender people trying to erase sex? I don't know that they are, but it's,
I think they're trying to redefine
gender.
They're trying to redefine gender, and she's seeing it as them completely taking away gender, when really it's just like, no, like, listen, everybody needs to just talk, as you said.
It's like a discussion.
There's just a discussion that needs to be had, you know, and let's get rid of the anger. Let's stop being angry at her. Like, I mean, come on. First of all, like,
you're entitled to be angry if somebody here. Sorry, go ahead.
I'm
now getting angry.
I'm like, JK,
come.
Go count your money.
Well,
go to your castle in a cloud and stop tweeting.
Well, also, I think that there are people that have the ideas like, oh, this woman, she's just this rich white woman sitting in her castle, disconnected from society. All right, fucking connect with her then.
Yeah, bring her down to earth.
Yeah, like, try
to be her wake-up call. If you think you're so superior in the way you see the world, then why don't you try to educate someone who doesn't see it the way you do?
Yeah, and a connection is such a crucial and important part of societal growth, societal progress. And you are kidding, like, if you think screaming at her is connecting, and I don't just mean her, I mean anyone, but when you think about general connection and the people you have connected with, just think of all of your friendships, all of your relationships, all the people you remember in your life that you have had a significant connection with. How many of them, when upon first meeting, your first impression, came up to you and were like, fuck you, you fucking idiot, and you thought, yes, this is a conversation I'm going to just love to continue.
Never. No one would want that.
It's a lot easier to do that, by the way. It's a lot harder to get angry at someone and then go, let's have a conversation. 100%.
Yeah.
It's not always easy.
The right thing isn't necessarily easy, but once you get through it and once it's done, like, this is worth it. This is worth it to have this conversation. People feel passionately about what she's saying because it's coming from someone who gave the world this incredible gift. And we don't want to believe that she's this terrible person. I don't think she's a terrible person.
No, but I also
I don't think anybody should. And if you do, stop. She's not a horrible, hateful person. She sees the world differently than you do. It is on you and her to sit down at a table and get to the bottom of things and come to some sort of understanding. Don't just shut that door. And I don't know. I would love to be the person to sit down and talk with her.
Oh, 100%. And if you're listening to this going, oh yeah, just sit down and have a conversation with J.K. Rowling. Fuck you. Like that's just an option. Here's the thing. Look at the ratio on her tweets about all this stuff. Look at the comments. She's not the only one that feels this way. So there's a chance that someone you know understands where she's coming from, feels that way. And they are like, yeah, I don't understand why this is such a big deal. Address it at the level you're seeing it.
Yeah.
Like, we all have to be prepared to go in those conversations. And you, like, yeah, we can all sit online and pretend we're fucking social justice heroes. Yeah. And that bad
and experts on everything.
Don't cross our minds. But the reality is, there are almost certainly no evil and no perfect people. We're all somewhere in the middle. And even at our best, we have thoughts that probably pop into our head and we go, oh, that's probably not the right thought that I should be having, but it came up.
But it came up. And listen, sometimes you can just let that thought pass. You don't need to tweet it. You don't need to say it. You can just have that thought where you're like, oh God, that isn't like the best thought. I really do feel that way, but you don't need to say it.
Yeah, which maybe that was a bad call on her part.
Yeah. I have to wonder, she knows it's going to cause a stir. What is she trying to do?
The thing is,
is she gaslighting? Is this a gaslighting thing?
I don't know. My thought is like maybe because she already went up in flames about it, but if it's really plaguing her and her only conversation is through a computer and the people screaming at her, maybe she really is like, no, this is very important to me. And if it's that important to her and she's that worried about it, maybe she's like, I do need
to address this.
I need to say something.
Yeah.
If she truly feels what she thinks is not coming from a hateful place and is a real concern, then, I mean, anyone should stand up and say, if you really feel that way, you're like, I'm getting a lot of heat about something, you should voice it. You should go, wait, I still don't feel okay about this. But also, fucking read the room.
Oh, God.
Like, now?
The world is imploding. And like, she's like, you know what?
It's like, can we...
Let's come back to this issue.
Like, can we just, as a world, as a people who want to do better, fucking focus on one issue in front of us and make some fucking progress before we come in and go, but what about this? Even like feminism, when people want to go, oh, but well, what about, this is kind of like actually anti-feminism and other people who are trying to just make some progress aren't doing it good enough. It's like, why don't we fucking get one big picture thing accomplished?
Yeah, let's push one thing through. Let's tackle one really big fucking agenda.
Instead
and
of
especially, not that being trans isn't important, but like, I'm sorry, Black Lives Matter, this is an issue that has plagued our country since the beginning of time.
And we're in the thick of finally looking like maybe
we're on the cusp of some sort of progress.
So can we just like shut the fuck up about trans rights, get through this Black Lives Matter movement, let's get some fucking equality for people who are long overdue for it, and then we can get to trans lives.
Or, I don't know if that's it's so fucking hard, and I think this is where people get stunted in trying to help. I know, speaking from my own experience, that it's easy to shut down is going, there's too many things and I can't focus.
Mm-hmm. There,
I don't know. Maybe put all our eggs in one basket. It's like, yes, of course, still stick up for everything if these things, if you see people oppressing other groups.
I mean, yeah, obviously, if you see something, say something. But like,
but it's like, can we just make one thing, make progress in one thing before we get to the nitty gritty of even that thing?
Yeah. Look at how much progress we've made in the past, 2 weeks with like a global focused energy on Black Lives Matter. Look at the progress that was made, in the different cases of, police being indicted.
And there's still so much to do, but what a change just from those 2 weeks.
Of people focusing their attention on Black Lives Matter.
And it's like, imagine if we took that focus, pushed it a little bit longer, got some even more lasting change, pushed us into the election, and we're able to take that amount of focus and put it on something else.
Yeah.
Like,
and we're not saying don't focus on it. We're not saying, sorry, we're going to put you on the back burner, don't say anything until this is over.
Yeah, no one's silencing
it. Yeah, yeah. Like, but it, it's just like, why? I mean, J.K. Rowling, maybe she doesn't care about Black Lives Matter, and this is her way of being.
Yeah, it's like, let's focus on the truth, is that maybe she's a racist.
Yeah. We know she's a faddist.
I mean,
no one in Harry Potter, she's just against people. Honestly, it's not that she hates all people. No lives matter.
Look at the way she writes every character.
Every character is ugly, fat, weird looking, big hair, big teeth, beady eyes. Like, poor Neville. That guy's never going to have one good adjective. Never, not one. He's going to be the butt of every fucking joke. Forever.
My God. And just the way she writes. I mean, we just, in the chapter we're about to discuss, is that the one we did, the flight? Is that in this?
Yeah, the flight.
The flight of the fat lady.
The fat lady in the portrait. That's what she's been reduced to.
Yeah, why are we so...
Not the lady with gray hair.
Yeah, why is nobody, by the way, trying to... Or the cute pink outfit.
Yeah.
Why is nobody canceling her for that? That's been going on for years. Those years. Are just sitting in the books.
Oh, now you want to come after her.
It's, oh, God. And also, for everyone with the same hot take of like, oh, so I guess when you hit menopause, J.K. Rowling, you're not a woman anymore. Ha ha, real funny, but the reality is a lot of men don't see us, literally see us like that. So
our stock value's over. By the way, our stock value's over the second we cannot produce heirs.
That's what we're told. Yeah. So it's like, ha ha, let's stick it to J.K. when the reality is that's how we're fucking treated in society. Yeah.
And we live in LA. Second you get over 30, your stocks are fucking plummeting. You had 40 out to pasture with your fat ass.
Get out of here, Dusty.
Just fucking coughing up mothballs instead of eggs.
Anyway, I'm hot. We're going to take a break. We'll be back.
Can we turn the AC on?
Yeah. Okay. We're just going to talk about Harry Potter after this.
All right. Bye, guys. We'll be back.
Hey, guys. It's JMS. I want to take a quick second to tell you about my friends at Fade Away Candle Company. I'm a big fan of candles. I think we all know this. Easy way to make yourself feel relaxed, feel like you're luxuriating even if you're in a tiny studio apartment. You light a couple candles, get your feel good on. Fade Away Candle Company can help you with that. All of their candles are hand poured in their studio in San Diego and then hand labeled and hand packaged to be delivered to you. And all the candles use all-natural premium coconut wax, which is toxin-free. They're GMO and phthalate-free, which means they burn cleanly and evenly all the way down. And they've got a lot of amazing scents. And this is the important part for me, the smell of the candle. A lot of us are using candles to enhance the smell of our homes or our offices. And these guys offer scents that you don't find a lot of places. They've got Fruity Loops. They've got Caribbean Teakwood. They've got bourbon butterscotch. Maybe you're a dude in a bachelor pad. You want to spice it up but keep it manly. What better way than a bourbon butterscotch scented candle? Perfect. Everything you need. Now you can invite a girl over and she doesn't know that what it really smells like in your apartment is socks full of cum. They also carry soaps, sanitizers, wax melts, which absorb heat slowly and release aromas without burning the oils, which allows the wax to continue to release the scent without the fragrance evaporating super quickly, so you got that long-lasting smell. And right now, if you hurry, you can get 15% off for Father's Day, and all U.S. orders over $25 have free shipping. Excuse me. So head over to fadeawaycandleco.com. That's C-O at the end. fadeawaycandleco.com. Check out some candles. Get yourself a gift. Get your dad a gift. Get my dad a gift if you know who he is. I don't. Enjoy, guys. fadeawaycandleco.com.
And we are back. We're back. Nicole is humming. We are drinking smoothies.
Yeah.
Maybe are too thick that we shouldn't be drinking them while we record a podcast. What? But no bubble. This ain't chocolate milk, bitch. All right.
I think it was the protein. Ugh. I'm just not into it.
Wow, you really knocked that out.
Yeah, it's not a savory beverage. It's a shitty green smoothie.
Yeah, that's, I mean, the key. That's majority of it's gone already.
Yeah, that's because it's gross and I want to get it over with.
You took 8 hours to eat your morning overnight oats.
I like the overnight oats.
Oh, so you're savoring.
Also, I don't have a straw for the overnight oats. It's very easy to inhale stuff through a straw.
Please note that these are plastic straws because we are actively trying to kill turtles.
Fuck turtles.
Listen, I had leftover plastic straws. A few years ago, I bought probably close to 700 straws because they were on sale. And I'm still burning through my supply. I've got about 10 left, so after that, I'm getting the fancy ones, the fancy metal ones with the little cleaning thing.
I place my straws in recycling, hoping that they will be turned into new straws.
You really are a humanitarian.
I'm an earthitarian.
She worships at the altar of Mother Earth.
Did you use the lid as a coaster? Plaster?
Yeah.
I'm innovative.
Classy. All right, guys, let's get to it. Chapter 7.
We're getting into it. Okay.
The Bogart in the wardrobe.
I am anxious to see the movie because what if they call it Bogart? I mean, it's clearly Bogart, right? Why would they give it a different name but spell it like that? It's got to be Bogart.
I don't know.
I don't remember. It's Bogart to us. It's just those two G's. I feel like Bogart should have one G. Is this a British thing?
Booger, because booger is B-U-G-G-E-R. So,
Booger is B-O-O-G-R. That's bugger,
oh.
Which is a British insult. Or is it is bugger?
You guys, why am
bugger?
I so
it's
dumb?
It's like fuck for British
I'm
people.
I'm the dumbest.
You're not the dumbest. Well, you are the dumbest one right now.
Uh-huh. Right, this is very dumb. I'm the dumbest.
Out of the two of us, I'm looking pretty smart.
Yeah, you're a Rhodes Scholar compared to me at the moment.
Yeah, I've been on so many roads.
I have so much shit in my teeth from that smoothie. It's driving me crazy.
We'll quit looking at your own case then.
All right, well...
Most people are listening with their ears, not their eyes.
Anyhow. Okay, so...
excuse me, I'm so sorry.
So
oh, can you guys smell the whey protein?
She's the not single one.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So this chapter starts off... Well, we finished chapter 6 with Malfoy's little bitch ass getting hurt.
Oh, yeah, him fucking with the hippogriff. Hippogriff's like, no, motherfucker.
Not today, you little Aryan baby.
He has to go with a goddamn Madame Pomfrey. Is Hagrid going to get fired? Who knows?
We don't know.
But really not a good day for Hagrid. In his first lesson.
So, we start off the Bogart in the wardrobe. Malfoy is milking this fucking injury.
He's being right? Such a bitch.
Such a bitch. They're in potions class with Snape, so it's the Slytherins and the Gryffindors in potion class. And Malfoy's like, I can't cut up the ingredients for my potion, Snape.
Oh, I need help.
And Snape is like, oh, 1 second. Let me get you someone to cut up your shit. And he fucking
gets Weasley.
Ron Weasley. And Ron, being the little dick he is, God bless his heart, chops up all the ingredients just really bad.
Really shitty.
That's a terrible job.
Yeah. And then
Malfoy bitches about it, tells on him to Snape. Just... such a little bitch.
Malfoy
like,
is such a tattletale.
Like, just shut up.
Ugh.
Anywho, Snape makes them switch ingredients. So now Ron has all the shitty ingredients, and the ones that he had done for himself perfectly are now
Malfoy's.
Yeah, he gets the perfect ones. Meanwhile, by the way, Neville's fucked up royally. I mean, surprise, surprise.
Neville's potion looks like pea soup. Or actually, no, it
no, it was
looks
orange.
Like, it looks like orange, red lentil soup.
And it's supposed to be green.
It's supposed to be green.
Snape.
And Snape lays into Neville.
As
he's just always terrorizing Neville. Poor Neville, man. That dude is always going to shit the bed, and Snape is always going to be there to let him know how bad he shit it.
God, I wonder how often he literally shits the bed. All those guys have to share a dorm with him.
Neville for sure is shit a bed.
He's at least pissed.
He still wets his bed, absolutely.
Which means he's probably going to grow up to be a genius. If I know.
You know what? I feel like Neville's the kind of guy, after he pees, he probably wipes the tip of his dick with a piece of tissue. Or he's the guy who walks around with, like, pee marks on his boxers.
Oh, that's for sure.
That's for sure, Neville.
Yeah. And then so it's so fucked up. After, like, Snape's laying into it, but he's like, all right, well, at the end of class, we're going to put a sample of this on your toe. Because it's supposed to be a shrinking potion. So he's like, if you did it right, your toe will shrink. If not,
you have a fucking dead toe.
He's going to die.
I mean, honestly, animal rights activists, why weren't you all over J.K. Rowling for this idea?
Anyways. I mean, it's not about, this isn't J.K., what is
these are real characters.
Severus Snape's idea.
She channeled Severus. Severus Snape came through J.K.
Speaking in the tongues of wizards. So he's like trying to get, Hermione offers to help him. She gets in trouble, but he's like,
Hermione's
please,
like,
God,
I'll fucking help you.
I'm gonna fucking help you.
Like, and Snape specifically says, if you fucking help him, you're in deep shit. Don't fucking help him. But Hermione, the G that she is like, I know how to do everything. All right, so then at some point, Sirius Black comes up.
Of course. It's hot topic, so people start buzzing about it. They're buzzing about Sirius Black like the internet was buzzing about J.K. Rowling.
Yep.
Just
and
like,
Malfoy starts giving Harry Potter shit because once Malfoy's done giving Ron shit or Neville shit, if he hasn't gotten enough, then he'll move on to Harry. So he moves on to Harry. And he's like, you know, if I were you, I would want revenge against Sirius Black. And Harry's like, well, why would I revenge? Like,
revenge?
For what?
Yeah.
Like, has no idea what's going on. But he's also just like, also, shut the fuck up.
Truly. Like,
no one cares what you have to say, Malfoy. You're a bitch.
He's such a bitch. And he's always instigating. It's the worst thing in the world. Okay. Class ends. That's pretty much it, right? He's just putting a bug in his ear.
At the end of class, Hermione ended up helping Neville successfully. It gets tested on his toad. His toad survives. And then
Snape takes
points away because he's like, there's no way you did that on your own, Neville. Hermione for sure helped you.
I told you.
Gryffindor loses points.
Yeah, because he told her not to help him. Yeah. It's like, what are you trying to teach your students?
Yeah.
Not to fucking help people?
I'm
Slytherin bitch.
I don't understand how this sort of teacher is just still around. Like, do they not care about teacher quality? Or is just no one able to teach potions?
Is he so good at potions that they're like, well, you know, yeah, he jerked off in front of a bunch of young potions masters, but he's the best at potions. I don't think we should.
He could rape a student and they would be like, you know what? He was nice to her.
Yeah, but he does. And it is terrible what happened. But have you seen his inflating solution?
Wow, he really knows how to blow a bitch up.
Ah, truly. Jesus.
Class is over.
Ron's pissed because they got in trouble and because of fucking Malfoy being a dick.
And then for some reason, Hermione, like, disappears after class.
Yeah, he's, like, complaining to her, and then she's gone, and all of a sudden, like,
reappears.
Way behind him. It's very weird.
Here's my thing about that. Yeah. I think that's trying to distract us somehow, like, making Hermione seem like she could be a suspect in all of this.
Ah, yes. Give us your theory.
This is my theory. That, like, JK's running interference with this Hermione shit, trying to let us, you know, think that maybe she's in on something
or
somehow.
She's up to something.
Up to something. And it's like, I don't think she's up to anything. I think this is just a distraction for the reader. I mean...
So you think this is just to throw all of us off the scent?
Yeah, I think it's to throw all of us off the scent.
Yeah.
I think, really, I bet Hermione got her period.
Oh my God.
I'm a real girl!
Hermione got her fucking period. Now she's a woman. JK.
Yeah. There are you happy? Redemption for you. In the eyes of JK, anyway. Okay, so Hermione's acting like it's not a big thing. Like, she's very, like, I don't know, like...
Do-do-do-do-do. No big deal.
No big deal.
They all head off to finally, we get to see Professor Lupin in action.
Oh my God, so it's our first defense.
I'm fucking pumped for this because I'm not sure where I'm at with Lupin. I feel like Lupin is going to end up being an okay guy.
Because you have had your suspicions about him. You were on the fence of maybe that's actually Sirius Black.
But I think that cat is Sirius Black.
You think the cat?
I think the cat is Sirius Black.
Crookshanks.
I think Crookshanks is a bad guy.
So that's what you're taking a stance on, is that Crookshanks is a bad guy.
I think there's maybe the Sirius way, Black. The only way somebody could be Sirius Black in this, unless he's taking over the body of J.R. Lupin.
RJ.
RJ, whatever, Lupin. Unless he's taking over the body of Lupin, I really think to go undetected in that castle, you would have to be an animal.
You'd have to be, yeah.
And, and Transfiguration seems like a pretty, like, high-level witch thing.
He's a
high-level wizard. So it's like, it makes sense to me that, like, he would do that shit. Like, that's how he would infiltrate.
That's really interesting.
So I definitely think he's the cat, or he's coming in as an animal in some way.
And you think that Dementors maybe wouldn't detect that, even though they catch everything?
I don't know. I don't know how they would or wouldn't detect it. But I feel like if Sirius Black is so great, like, why wouldn't he be able to throw them off the scent?
That's true. If he's really that powerful, I mean, he already escaped. He must have figured out some way to throw them off.
Yeah.
He escaped from the most, you know, high security.
Oh, also,
prison.
Wait. Do you remember when they were sitting in the Hogwarts Express coming to school?
Yeah.
And the little thing went off, the sneakoscope?
Oh, the sneakoscope.
It went off before the Dementors were in there.
Mm.
So the sneakoscope went off when Ron, Hermione, Harry, and Lupin were all in the same car.
And there was there
and there were animals in there too.
Oh, the animals.
The cat was in there.
The cat was in there.
Harry had his owl. Ron had his
scabbers.
And Hermione had
Crookshanks. That's interesting. Look
so
at you, detective.
Fucking maybe it's scabbers.
It's Hedwig.
Why do you say Hagrid? It's just so close to Hagrid.
Hedwig is an emblem of freedom. Can you have a little bit of respect?
Okay, I'm sorry.
I mean, at this point, you might as well shit on the flag.
I don't know. So it just has to be something tiny.
You think
so? I don't know why. I just love this Lupin guy. And especially what happens in this chapter made me love him even more, like thinking about this whole thing that happened. So they get to the dark arts class.
He's like, put your books away. We're getting practical.
Yeah.
Real time.
So this is huge because the last time they had a dark arts professor was what's his face?
Fucking Gilderoy Lockhart.
Who brought out those little
things. It's so funny because that was his first class.
Uh-huh.
And that's the last time they've had any practical class.
Yeah. So that was like
Pixies.
So it was like, you know, they're all sitting there. Before that, it's just in theory, dark arts in theory. And then all of a sudden, Lupin's like, let's go see some dark arts in action.
Dude, Neville must have been shitting his pants.
Remember his pants.
Neville got, like, hung from a chandelier by the Pixies?
I'm like, Neville's getting his ass handed to him.
In the movie, he's like, why is it always me?
I can't wait to watch this scene in the movie.
Yes.
So they go to
the staff room.
He's like, we're going to the staff room. There's something going on in the staff room. They walk into the staff room. Severus Snape is sitting in the staff room, and he's like, oh, fucking, you know, heads up, Lupin. You know, Neville's probably going to fuck something up.
So just be ready. And he's like, I'm not going to stay and watch this atrocity.
Yeah.
He's
and
just
then
being fucking sane.
This is why I love Lupin, because Lupin goes, well, just so happens I'm going to have Neville as my assistant for this thing that we're going to be doing.
I think he'll do a great job.
And I was like, okay, is he playing games? Like, I don't know. It just felt like such a...
It's also like, why does he feel like he needs to stick it to Snape?
I don't think he's necessarily JR. I don't think Lupin is necessarily Sirius. But I think he might know Sirius because I don't know. I feel like he's either in cahoots with Sirius Black... no reason he just magically appeared in this story. I just don't think he's necessarily bad. Like, maybe he's going to be the person who ends up stopping Sirius Black when he comes to, like, fuck shit up.
Interesting.
Because he used to know Sirius Black. Or maybe he, like, knows... I don't know. He has this level of kindness for the students where it's like, why would he be that nice
Maybe he's very clever at disguising himself as a nice teacher.
I don't know, dude. I don't know. This scene really, like, touched my heart because I just love the fucking underdog and he was so nice to him.
I mean, what about this theory that this is a Gryffindor class? Mm-hmm. Snape notoriously prefers his students. Mm-hmm. So he knows he's shitty to them. Oh, so he's getting in better with the Gryffindors by look, I don't like Snape either.
Yeah.
So you can trust me because I don't like Snape. And I know
it could be a manipulation tactic.
Who knows? So this is what we find out. There's a Bogart in the wardrobe. Big surprise. It's the name of the fucking chapter. Aha! This is where it is.
So a Bogart, if you haven't read this or if you need a rehashing, a Bogart is this dark creature that the second you look at it, it will take the form of your worst fears.
Yes.
And you have to say this counter spell, which is, what is it?
Ridiculous.
Ridiculous. And then that,
so great,
and that evil character will somehow turn into something silly and funny and it'll make you laugh because laughter is what kills a Bogart.
Just like Twitter.
Yep.
Yeah, so it's basically, you try really hard to imagine what could make the thing you're so afraid of funny. And then hopefully that induces laughter and laughter makes it like run for the hills.
Now this is what made me really sad. He was like, Neville, what are you most afraid of? And Neville's like, Professor Snape.
Oh,
what a little fucking bitch.
I know.
Your biggest fear is a fucking professor?
Maybe it's worth being afraid.
What a privileged life this little fuck has lived.
What a way to look at it.
His biggest fear is a professor?
Is like,
oh, have you never been molested?
Like, grow up.
Go let your uncle touch your dick.
Get fingered by a gym coach.
Somebody.
What are you doing
inappropriately?
Yeah, what were you doing in elementary school? Do wizards just go to regular elementary school? Oh.
Technically, they do, I think. Yeah.
Because they don't start this till they're 12, so they get all their regular learning.
I just think it is so sad. So sad that
he's so afraid of Snape.
He's so afraid. That's his biggest fear. His biggest fear.
So then Neville brings, or not Neville, excuse me.
Lupin is like, well, what about your grandma?
You live with her, and he's like, I wouldn't want to see her either. So he's also probably afraid of his grandma. Because his grandma, I don't know if every grandma was like this, or just my grandma, who famously was not like the best person, but like,
I want to say just, God rest her soul. Satan rest her soul.
Just would not put up with my shit. Mm. Like, the idea of the sweet grandma was always, I guess I had a sweet grandma and another grandma that wouldn't put up with my shit. She would be like,
pause it for a second.
Quit acting like a fool.
Sorry about that, guys.
Yeah, we had a little brief, had to get some materials. But, okay, so.
So he, they established that Neville has his grandma and Sirius, or
Freudian slip.
Lupin, is that a Freudian slip?
Because you think that he's maybe Sirius.
Oh.
Lupin is like, I want you to picture your grandmother's clothes.
Yeah.
Which I think is a smart move because it's like, you know, this kid lives with his grandma. We've all seen how grandmas dress. Mm-hmm. Frankly, I love it. And people have insulted multiple of my outfits by saying I look like a grandma, which I think is rude.
You do look like a grandma.
Well, I'm also small and arthritic. So
yeah, you
what
have the joints
it?
Of a grandma, for sure.
But so, he tells Neville, I want you to focus really hard on her outfits. What does she wear? But by the way, apparently she wears a hat with a fucking vulture
on top. I mean, so eccentric. Witches are so eccentric.
I love it.
She dresses like if Betsy Johnson were designing for witches, that's a hat she would design.
Like, truly. And just like a big handbag. So focus on your grandma's clothing. And when this thing comes out, say the spell.
Imagine, and then imagine Snape in your grandma's clothes.
Yeah.
And he's like, all right, cool, let's go for it.
So he releases.
And then he tells everybody in the class to do that. He tells everyone in the class.
Think of what you're most afraid of.
Biggest fear is, and then something funny that'll like overcome that so you laugh.
How it could be silly, yeah. So here comes the Bogart. He unleashes it. And Neville fucking, by the way, nails it.
Nails it.
Spell.
Nails it.
Ridiculous.
He just needed someone to believe in him.
Yes.
You just need to champion Neville. No one's cheering for fucking Neville.
And Neville's such a sweet boy. And
he's such a sweet little bitch.
Everyone gets to see Professor Snape wearing grandma's clothes.
Oh, and they die. Everybody dies.
I mean, redemption. Are you kidding me?
It was so ridiculous.
the Bogart gets confused because there's so many people. So Lupin tells him to line up. Like, we're all stepping up, taking turns. So people are coming up. It's turning into a hand. It's turning into a
spider.
Oh, yeah, Ron does Ron a spider and has the legs removed. And Harry's sitting there panicking because
Harry's thinking either Voldemort or Dementor. Sirius Black or a Dementor.
No, not Sirius. He didn't even think Sirius Black.
So,
oh, didn't he?
I think I maybe he did. Anyhow, so he's thinking of all these people who are, like, out to get him.
But then he's like, okay, Dementors, they're, like, the most scary. That's the most relevant to me.
It's very top of mind.
So he's like, how do I make that not scary? And then he's trying to figure out, it's his turn in line. He comes up, and Lupin jumps in front of him. He doesn't even get a chance to...
Yeah.
He cuts him off.
Yeah.
He's like, all right, class, and just sort of transitions it to someone
so
else.
Okay, so here's one of my theories. My theory is, perhaps, if Lupin is Sirius Black, would that be like a glitch in the Matrix if he turns
into Sirius Black?
A Bogart turns into Sirius Black?
Oh, that's interesting.
Or is he worried that if he turns into Sirius Black, the Dementors who are in the building
are going to come,
sense it, come in there, and then they'll realize that's the real Sirius Black there.
And then it's a whole thing.
And that's a whole thing. But, like, I don't know.
That's
anyways, these are theories that I have.
Absolutely.
Because there's, what is his reasoning for jumping in there? He ultimately says, you know.
We get there in the next coming chapters. But, like, at this point, it just seems like he's, I mean, to Harry, it's like, what does he think? I can't fucking take on a Dementor? And then, by the way, his Bogart changes into, a silver orb. Kind of weird.
First of all, I remember he threw a silver thing at one of the Dementors, like a silver slippery thing.
Oh, that's right.
So what is this silver thing going on?
I don't know. And I'm not going to fucking
tell. Is silver like a deadly element? Is like on the periodic table of elements. Are they like, oh no.
Oh silver. Yeah, does silver like kill wizards?
I don't know.
Silver, bolt, silver.
Sends out that silver orb, class is psyched, and Harry was like kind of bummed out about it. And so Harry's like, well, why did he stop me?
Yeah, that's everyone else is celebrating because they got to do practical stuff.
Yeah.
Harry's just like fucking bummed.
Well, I wonder what Hermione was. Do we know what Hermione's was?
No.
Wait. It's just an F on a report card.
Yeah, that's what Ron said. I'm surprised that Hermione wasn't, you know, getting 9 out of 10 on a report card.
Yeah, hilarious.
All right, and then that will take us into chapter 8. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. It's on.
Yes. All right, chapter 8, Flight of the Fat Lady. Okay, really quick.
To circle
is
back.
Is she even a lady?
To JK, circle back to is the she shape even, of her body.
And she's fat. Is she even a lady? How do you know she's a lady?
Did she get her period JK, in the portrait?
Yeah. Was she bleeding? Did she leave the portrait to get a tampon?
Oh, because that's a thing that only women do.
Or is she, what is it? Like, is she hungry because she's fat? Was she going to get something to eat, JK? Oh, and are women allowed to be hungry, JK?
I do genuinely wonder if the people in portraits eat.
I mean, I would be furious if I were stuck in a portrait. And I
oh, can you imagine being the Last Supper and they're like, no, don't touch that. It's just for the paintings. What do you mean we can't have...
I would love to see
that's
that.
My body. I'm giving it up for you. But don't touch it.
Don't eat me just yet.
It's art. It's art. I'm Jesus.
Oh, God. That is really funny. Like, the Last Supper in a Harry
in
Potter
a painting in a Harry Potter. And people are just fighting over the bread.
Maybe we should do that as, like, a sketch. That would be really funny.
That would be great.
Super insider. Anywho, so...
Everyone loves Defense Against the Dark Arts.
Everybody's fucking raving about it. Snape is like fucking pissed because he heard what happened with Neville turning the Bogart turning into him and everybody laughing at him, and he's like fucking annoyed.
Fucking annoyed. Like, potions classes are getting worse.
And Lupin is doing all his dark arts classes are turning into like practical execution.
Yeah, they're learning so much, just like leaps and bounds over anything they've learned, because it feels like at this point they really haven't learned much in Defense Against the Dark Arts because they've had shitholes as teachers.
And then Trelawney continues to be fucking weird and deranged.
Oh, yeah. Making every time Harry's in the class, it's like, oh, God. Oh, I'm so
yeah,
sorry.
She's cavelling the whole time.
Just so...
And then Hagrid...
Still a teacher, still a professor, but...
just Stella needs to get her groove back.
Yeah, his lessons are so fucking boring. They're, what are those, flog bottoms? I don't know.
And he doesn't do any, like, fun animals. He just does little bitch animals.
Yeah, they're, like, feeding flobber worms.
They're, like, the Neville of magical creatures.
This is, like, okay, if you've ever seen a compost where you, like, feed, you just put cardboard in and the little worms eat it, I feel like that's what these things are.
Yeah.
What is a flobber worm even do?
I don't know.
The good news is, it's fall. Motherfucking Quidditch is coming.
Okay, so I remember at the start of chapter 7, when we found out that Malfoy's like being a bitch about his arm, I was just like, oh, watch, he's not a bitch as soon as fucking Quidditch comes around. His arm is miraculously healed. And it was!
But it wasn't.
Oh, no, it wasn't. Just kidding.
No, it was not. They canceled.
They canceled. But
he was fucking fine.
He was fine. So he kept being a little bitch. I really fucked that up.
He's such a bitch that he...
Or anything.
He fucked it up that he's such a bitch. Is this even in this chapter? Or are we going to be in
it? Yeah, that's in it, I think.
Or is that in the next chapter?
I don't know. Whatever, guys. We'll get to it. We're not sure.
It doesn't matter, but it's in the next chapter. But, like,
anyhow.
The point is, he's very excited for Quidditch. It gives him something to focus on. Oliver Wood's in his seventh year. That's the Quidditch captain. We know this.
And he's Oliver Wood is hot on getting
that fucking Quidditch cup. Like, this is it. This is his last time.
Also, everybody's going to the first field trip to Hogsmeade. Harry can't go. Fucking bummer.
Super, super bummer.
Feeling really bad.
Ron tells him you should try asking McGonagall. He's like, you know, maybe she'll...
Okay, here's why I think Crookshanks might be...
Bad news.
Bad news. Why are we seeing so much of this interaction between Crookshanks and Scabbers? She never really focused on animals that much in the last books.
Well, in fairness, nobody had, Hermione didn't have an animal. So maybe it's just to show animals. So
maybe.
Or maybe, like you said about Hermione,
I don't think there's a distraction. I don't think there's any accidents.
So we see Crookshanks. Maybe that it's just to show what's going to drive a wedge between Ron and Hermione.
Maybe. Anywho,
speaking of pets, Lavender Brown hears that her pet rabbit died, and it's the same day that Trelawney had said, you're going to receive bad, or your worst fear is going to happen.
But
on...
didn't she die the night before?
She got the news on the day that Trelawney had said, which Hermione points out. Hermione comes in, practical as fuck. We know that Hermione, not crazy about Trelawney. I think a little bit is because Trelawney basically insulted her ability to see the future in the first class, but she kind of thinks it's bullshit.
And nobody's on board. Everyone's head over heels for Trelawney.
Yeah, and so her being like, just, I don't know, super skeptical, going, well, I mean, technically, didn't he die, you know, a few days ago? Was this your greatest fear? Was he old? And she's like, no. And he's like, wait, were you sitting around waiting for your young, so afraid your young rabbit would die? But it's like, you can't ask those questions to someone who's mourning. No matter what, you look like a dick.
Yeah, I mean, Hermione's a dick.
I mean, that's true.
She's just like a little bit of a dick.
She's like, I've got to be right, and I'm very practical.
Harry goes to McGonagall, wants to get his permission slip signed. McGonagall's like, no.
Denied.
Which is annoying as fuck to me.
But, you know, she's got a reason. So Halloween morning.
Everybody goes to Hogsmeade, except for Harry.
He's just stuck there with the first and second years. Barf.
Goes to Lupin's classroom.
Yeah, and he gets to hang out with Lupin for a little while.
And chat for a little bit.
Which is cool. And then Harry
asks him about, like, why did you fucking Bogart me from the Bogart?
That's so funny. Why are you Bogarting all the Bogart time? And Lupin says it's because he assumed Harry's Bogart would turn into Voldemort.
And would scare fucking everyone. Which, honestly, it would.
That's good logic. I understand why a teacher would go, you know what? People are afraid of this guy's name.
Yeah.
Maybe let's not bring him in the fucking
The
classroom.
Physical manifestation of him.
And also, to echo back to what you were saying about the glitch in the Matrix thing, would the Dementors swoop down if they thought Voldemort was there?
Yeah.
And then that's equal chaos.
Oh, I wonder if the Dementors would be out for someone like, do you have to have been a prisoner for the Dementors to want to capture you?
I feel like... This is going to sound so dumb, but I feel like in a way, I picture them somehow like bloodhounds, like that they've been given a scent of everyone that they should know is an enemy. So this is completely made up.
It's a good theory. It's a good theory. I stand by it. So then Snape comes in.
Yeah.
With a potion for Lupin. And he's like, here you go, buddy.
Real weird.
And Lupin just takes it.
And he's like, you might, yeah, you want to probably drink that right away.
Yeah.
And what are you feeling, by the way, about, he gives him the potion. They sort of have this not very, like, vague conversation.
Yeah. So I think at the end of all of this, Snape is going to end up being the worst guy. But I don't think Snape's going to be a really bad guy till like the very end of the series. Hmm. I think Snape will ultimately be the shithead. But I think right now Snape is, he's on the side of good.
And so, well, Lupin's rationale is like, oh, I've been feeling under the weather.
So I think, you know, Snape doesn't like Lupin, and this could possibly be a revenge thing. Or just like, you know, taking a jab at him. But I don't know. I don't know. Does Lupin trust him? Why would Lupin trust him?
But on the same token, why would he not trust him?
Yeah.
Unless he's up to something and he's afraid Snape is on to him.
Or, yeah, that's possible. That's totally possible. So everybody comes back from Hogsmeade.
They've got so much candy from Honeydew.
So much stuff. By the way, just hearing about Hogsmeade, I'm like, oh, I can't wait to fucking go to this when we go to the park.
Oh my God, Hogsmeade. Oh, you're going to love it.
Oh, is there a lot of candy there?
Oh, there's so much. They have Bertie Bott's Every Flavor Beans. They have chocolate frogs. They have, it's,
I can't wait.
It's so crazy. It's amazing. Oh my God, I can't wait. Please open up Earth. Halloween feast.
Amazing. Feast. Afterwards, there's a big hubbub.
Oh yeah. This is where the whole fat lady,
it was Splitsville. She wasn't there.
And someone has clawed
the canvas
up.
Has been ripped to shreds because it could be an animal.
Is that what you think? Mm-hmm. Oh, you think that like Crookshanks.
Mm-hmm. Clawed up the fat lady.
Would Crookshanks just be out and about? I don't know.
I don't know.
I guess.
I don't know how the animals run around that place.
That's true. I wonder if they just like roam the halls or if they have to stay in when you go to class. Like,
but somehow they knew it was.
Oh, there's an owlery. So
they knew it was Sirius Black.
Peeves said it.
Peeves saw that it was Sirius Black. So that means his physical body was there.
Or that Peeves is an asshole and is like, I know what they'll be most afraid of.
No, I don't think Peeves is an asshole. I think Peeves saw it and was like, this is what happened. But I think because it was in cat form, the Dementors didn't know it.
Oh.
But maybe when the cat talked to the fat lady and like gave the fat lady shit, it was like Sirius Black's voice and he was like, oh, I'm Sirius Black. I don't know. I don't know
how. Oh, I'm sure.
Like, did he transfigure back to Sirius Black so quickly and then,
and bolt?
You know, fuck her up and then bolt?
Yeah, like what is going on? And also, more importantly, this takes place in the early 90s as a period piece. What are the fucking security cameras?
Wild.
What are you doing?
By the way, Dumbledore knows fucking everything that goes on. How does he not know anything? Like, it's just so weird to me.
Well, that is a testament to the elusiveness of Sirius Black and whatever is going on.
Yeah.
But it's
I don't think... I think if the Dementors were stationed at every entrance, and... I don't know. There's no way Sirius Black could have gotten in there.
They, so you think it's like this is coming from inside?
Something's coming from inside, yeah.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Wow. Well, that's pretty much...
Yeah.
So we don't know where the fat lady is. She's gone.
By the way, remember a few books ago when the fat lady was gone?
To get some booty?
Maybe she's getting booty again.
Yeah, maybe she's hiding now. But I think Peeve says that her face is pretty slashed, but he doesn't want anyone to see it.
Oh, mama.
Anyway.
Someone needs to get her some salve. Maybe she went to the infirmary with Madame Pomfrey.
So she's in there? Yeah, and can you... Yeah, if you get cut as a portrait, are you just stuck being cut? Does someone have to repaint you?
You don't know, but it was a cat.
Whatever. We'll be right back.
Hey, everyone. As the world starts to slowly reopen, I think a lot of us are thinking about traveling, and I know I'm a big traveler myself, hoping to hit the road sooner than later, and I wanted to tell you about my friends over at UrbaneLuggage.com. That's U-R-B-A-N-E Luggage.com. The Urbane Traveler. It's inspired to protect the natural world we love to travel. They're committed to designing durable and eco-friendly hemp travel bags and accessories for all of us. Basically, Urbane Traveler wants to provide exclusive products that can help travelers reduce their carbon footprint by investing in products that benefit the earth and us. It's American-made, woman-owned. It's Ecolux hemp luggage. That's right. The first of its kind. Travel with a purpose, you guys. This is luggage made of hemp. That's amazing. Where are my hippies at? Where are the people who care about the environment? I hope to God you're out there. We need you. Urbane Luggage also has hemp washable face covers now. They're soft, durable, and they have the interior filter slot. So you're trying to venture out in the world, but you know, it's still mask time. You got to keep it safe. Head over there to get one of their hemp masks. And this is awesome. They just introduced a new Urbane Hemp Box, which is a subscription box curated by Black women-owned businesses featuring products like TLCBD, which is CBD from T-Boz, from TLC. You know you love it. Chase That Waterfall. Sorry, that was really corny. BUHair.com, Eclectic Relaxation, and more. This, you guys, beyond being a subscription box that just delivers you a bunch of awesome products, this is a great way to support American Black woman-owned businesses and, you know, and win. You get a variety of things you love. So if you're someone who wants to support businesses that are close to home, you want to support America, you want to support Black women, you want to support women in general, there you go. You can do all of that. Help everyone and help yourselves. Keep it all right at home. Help your neighbors, help the people you love, and help the planet with Urbane Luggage. UrbaneLuggage.com.
All right, chapter 9, Grim Defeat. Grim Defeat. I mean, I always look into the titles before we start, and it's like, is there a character named Grim?
It's so funny because I read that and I felt like, is it because the Dementors, I picture them looking like
the Grim Reapers?
The Grim Reaper.
Yeah, yeah, maybe.
So I was like, are we going to see the...
Are they going to overthrow Dementors? Like, I'm like, what? Who's Grim? What's Grim? Or is it just an overall sentiment? Like grimness?
Like grimness. Well, yeah. I mean, so what just happened was fucking Peeve says Sirius Black is in the building.
Yeah.
So Dumbledore's like, no one is safe in their houses. Everyone into the Great Hall. So it's basically like, did you ever go to the church lock-in?
No.
No.
Jewish.
I went with my friends and it's...
I remember my church friends going to church lock-ins. To me, this is the same thing as what happened when I would go to summer camp and there would be a storm. They would bring everybody into the main lodge.
And
we'd all have to stay in the main lodge.
If you think there weren't people getting fingered in the Great
Hall. Oh, for
sure. 100% people were hooking up.
Finger blasting. Girls are getting wands in their assholes.
I mean, you always are in different dormitories and now it's just a mass sleepover. Are you kidding? Horny teenagers? Forget it.
Yeah.
Several boobs were grabbed.
Somebody was doing an enlarging spell on their dick, for sure.
Oh my god.
Just like,
who has fucked that up in a bad way? Oh no, I dropped shrinking potion on my wiener!
That's just every wizard's excuse if he has a small dick.
What if that's why Snake's running with,
maybe that is.
He's just been pissed.
Okay, so everybody's, there's just a big pajama party. Everybody's buzzing about Black.
The teachers are on patrol. Nobody can sleep.
And later that night, Ron, Hermione, and Harry,
the crew,
just Snoop and Snoopsville, overhears the professors talking about...
And Percy, because
Percy's such a bitch, I can't stand
he's
him.
He's such a bitch.
They're talking about Black as well. No one knows how he got in. Snape says he has a theory. Dumbledore's like, no.
What do you make of that? Is Snape being an asshole? Or...
I mean... Snape saying he has a theory. Why would Dumbledore shut him down? What was the theory? I don't even remember.
Well, because he was like, I fucking... So Dumbledore, you know, Snape had asked Dumbledore, do you have any theories? And then Dumbledore's like, yeah, but none of them make any sense. And
then Snape's like, I have a theory.
And then he
alludes that it's Lupin.
He's like, I did... Well, all we hear him say is, I did express my concerns when you appointed, but then he's cut off.
Dumbledore's like, enough.
Yeah, it seems almost impossible that Black could have entered the school without inside help. I did express my concerns when you appointed. And then, yeah, Dumbledore
shuts it down.
Is like, no, I don't think, I trust that everyone who I've appointed is a good person. That's ridiculous. So that's skeevy.
Yeah.
Is that like Snape being seedy and just wanting that fucking job that they keep emphasizing? Is it him trying to keep the heat off of him?
Yeah. I don't know.
Maybe he's buddy.
I don't think Snape actually thinks he hasn't been right about anybody. He knew about Quirrell though.
Yeah.
But he didn't know Quirrell was Voldemort. He just thought Quirrell was a bad guy.
And I feel like he had his suspicions about, I mean, he knew Lockhart was stupid. I don't know if he knew he was a bad guy.
Yeah. Nobody, I mean, he was just a moron. So things start to like go back to business as usual. Bat Lady's getting restored. So in the meantime, they bring in a new guard for the Gryffindor.
It's Sir Cadogan, who we met, I think.
We met him
last year when they were running through the halls. He's a stout, or maybe early in this book. He's a little stout, yeah. He pointed them to Trelawney. It was this year.
Oh, okay.
And the very first, divination, they were lost. He pointed them to the weird North Tower. Uh-huh. So overconfident, 100% Sir Cadogan has shrinking dick syndrome.
Oh, absolutely.
But he is there.
Thing, shrinking dick syndrome. This is how we'll refer to people now.
Yeah, he had shrunk SDS. So he's fucking annoying, and he keeps changing the password like twice a day because he's like, I'm on high alert. He's just trying to do a great job. Yeah. He wants to be a knight.
First of all, I feel like he wants to get promoted. Maybe he's out for the fucking fat lady's job.
I mean,
look at these fucking white men taking fat lady's jobs.
How dare you?
How dare you?
Sir, sit your ass back in your own painting again. How about that?
Get your ass back there because this fat white lady is ruling the roost.
That's right. But for right now, they're stuck with Cadogan. Also, because no one else was brave enough to take the job. You hear someone get slashed as a thing in a painting, you're going to be like, you know, I don't want to get slashed. I mean, I'm already trapped in a painting.
To me, it's indicative of the misogyny of, like, the powers that be at Hogwarts, that they're like, oh, the woman couldn't do the job. Let's put a man on there.
That's a good way to look at it.
She fucked up. Anyhow. Well, actually, so that would just be... JK is misogyny.
Oh, I'm shocked.
Not at all. Harry makes his way to McGonagall. And McGonagall's like, I have something to say. I have something to tell you.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, I know.
She's about to unveil, like, this is why you should be worried about Sirius Black.
And he's like, I know.
I've already known.
Yeah. And she's like, Harry, please don't play Quidditch. Please stop. And Harry's like, no, please let me play. And she's like, ugh, fine, but you need teacher supervision.
Yeah, so no more, which is like, to me, it's fine as long as they have a teacher that's willing to do it, because it's like, they're not out there doing anything shady. They're just trying to fucking practice.
Yeah.
I'm kind of surprised there wasn't a teacher there anyway.
Also, I think it's really unfair that, like...
There's no coach?
Everybody is like, Harry Potter. Harry Potter's the best. But you don't fucking sign his permission slip for Hogsmeade. And then you're like, you can't play Quidditch. Like, this kid is not having a real life. Like, this is so fucking cruel.
But they...
And he keeps trying to get... People try to murder him every year of school. Like, somebody give Harry a break. First of all, he survived Voldemort. He's gonna be fine.
I mean, maybe, but maybe the clock is ticking. And also, I get... That's gotta be so hard, because you don't want to hold someone back, and you want to be like, let this kid just be a kid, but you're also like, if I say that it's okay for you to go out... Sorry. Excuse me. If you say that it's fine, go, actually it's okay, and then he gets killed, you have to live with that the rest of your life. So I get that you're like, we need to protect him at all costs.
But like, I don't know. I just feel bad. I mean...
Yeah, me too. It sucks. You want to be a kid, but it's also like, I don't know. What's insurance like in the wizarding world? You're a liability. But who's going to sue? The Dursleys?
Okay, so Quidditch game day comes up.
It's on its way. They were supposed to be against Slytherin, and this is what we mentioned it earlier because we were jumping the gun. Motherfucking Malfoy, who you had said, I bet he'll be fine by the time Quidditch comes up.
Isn't fine. He's fine.
It's raining. It's bad weather. Yeah. It's hard Quidditch. And we all know Malfoy fucking sucks at Quidditch. He's proven that. He's an idiot.
Yeah. So they end up having to play Hufflepuff.
Like, we just can't because my little army's hurting. Fuck you, you pussies.
Oh, he's such a piece of shit.
So now they're playing Hufflepuff, which is annoying because they've been practicing nonstop, planning for Slytherin, which just like so many sports teams, you learn how the other team plays and you're practicing.
You watch game tape.
Yeah.
You watch the fucking game tape. You know the other team's moves. You know their lineup. You know the heavy hitters. You know the weak links. You know everything you're supposed to be doing. You're running this thing like you're a fucking ESPN. Could you imagine ESPN for Quidditch?
ESPNQ. Yeah, I mean, it'd be amazing. ESPN? It's like nonstop World Cup, but it's Quidditch. They have their own World Cup, so I guess it wouldn't be nonstop World Cup, but nonstop Quidditch, that'd be amazing. ESPN, Quidditch tonight. So they have to play Hufflepuff, all different stuff. Brand new team captain, this Cedric Diggory dude, who apparently, by the way, super hot.
And
that's the vibe.
And Oliver Wood is flipping the fuck out because it's his seventh year, and he's like, fuck, now I'm not going to win the Quidditch Cup. This is all I've ever wanted. It's my last year. This is my last shot. It's your last. Do not miss the chance to blow. This opportunity comes once in a lifetime. You better lose yourself.
Quidditch, you big bitch. I could have kept going. Okay. Should I? Oh, here's the thing. I wonder what professional Quidditch farming is like. Does that make sense? Like, do you go to college?
Oh, the leagues. Quidditch? Yeah. How do you come up? Are there minors?
Is he also like, I need game tape of me destroying to try to become a professional? Or is he like, it's been fun. This is the end of the road for me. Like, is there competitive Quidditch? Like, are most of the people on these teams on other outside of school mm-hmm. Quidditch teams?
Yeah.
You know, like you used to do.
Or you're doing travel league. Travel Quidditch.
Yeah. Like with softball and soccer and uh-huh. hockey. So are there like juniors for Quidditch?
Yeah.
So this, but also that's, God, and maybe this is why I've been thinking more about soccer and how much I miss it, but that's like when you spend your whole childhood playing something and then you play it in high school and it's like such a big part of your life, then to hit a point where you're like, I don't even remember the last time. I don't think I own cleats anymore.
Yeah.
And that's,
I mean, it's, yeah,
sad.
I feel the same way about softball.
And crazy that it was like so much of who you are and now you're like.
It was the biggest part. Like when you're on a team, if you're invested in that in any way and you're good at it, it's your identity.
Yeah, so it's like, this is a huge part of his identity. He wants to go out with a bang.
This was the first big win he had when he came to Hogwarts. This was the first thing that Harry was like, oh, I'm fucking good.
Yeah.
Like, Harry didn't know he was a wizard, you know, 3 weeks or a month before he went to school, and now he gets to school. Not only is he a fucking wizard, he's a really good wizard who's, like, crushing it at Quidditch.
Yeah, also, if I could just circle back on that note to you going, this poor kid, I think this is a lesson in gratitude. That it's like, yeah, you're not able to go anywhere, but guess what? You're a fucking wizard.
Yeah.
A famous wizard, and you're the youngest seeker in over a century.
Yeah. In the history of quids.
Like, why do you focus on what's good? But anyway.
Anywho. So.
They're bummed.
So, he's talking to Oliver Wood. Oliver Wood keeps him in a fucking conversation. So, Harry's late to his next class, which is.
Defense
of the Dark Arts.
Defense against the Dark Arts. Not in defense of the. You said defense of the arts when we were going over what happened, which is so funny, given the fact that the art has literally been slashed and no one was defending it.
There you go.
Which, okay, it wouldn't have been a problem, but there's a fucking substitute teacher.
Yeah.
Snape.
Snape is the substitute teacher because that fucking potion he gave.
This is your theory.
This is my theory. The potion that he gave, correlation, it's not either confirmed nor denied, whatever.
But he gave Lupin a potion.
Lupin's not there.
And Lupin's gone.
So Snape lays in on everybody in the class again, gives Neville shit, blah, 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 and gives them an essay to do on werewolves. You know, what's the difference between a werewolf and a regular wolf? And by the way, Hermione has her hand in the air, like trying to answer questions the whole time.
Because she's Hermione.
And he's such a dick to her. Like, just, what are you doing?
What are you, J.K. Rowling? Pay attention to women.
Please. Anywho, so the day of the match comes up. Ron flips out during class and gets detention.
Yeah, because, first of all, Snape insults Lupin's teaching because they're way behind, which it's like, yeah, let's leave out the two shithead professors we've had for the last 2 years. And then he skips to the back of their book over everything they're learning and makes them write a two parchment length
essay
on werewolves.
What? Anywho.
Just bullshit.
Ron flips out on him, gets detention, and then finally the day of the Quidditch match comes. It's a fucking huge-ass storm.
Peeves wakes Harry up early. What is Peeves doing, by the way? I mean, he's just being Peeves, but it's also like, of all days to be waking him up early, why are you waking up Harry on the fucking, like, what was he doing there?
And then we meet the new seeker for... I don't know if it's the new seeker, but we meet the seeker.
New captain, who's the seeker. Daddy Diggory. Who all of the girls apparently go crazy for.
Daddy Diggory.
Yeah.
Diggory, Diggory, Doc.
Hickory, Diggory.
I'm going to choke on your cock.
Game and dance. Harry can't see shit because it's raining.
Listen, I'm wearing my fake glasses for this, okay? But when I'm wearing my real glasses.
By the way, we do have a video of this on YouTube. Lest you be thinking that she's extra stupid and wearing fake glasses for an audio podcast.
Guys, I like the way I look in glasses. It's my thing. I'm also very blind without them.
Yeah.
Today, Jessica Michelle showed me a picture.
Of an, okay, sort of interior decorating. It's like a cute living room. And you were like, oh, wow.
What kind of dog was that?
There was no dog in the picture. It was a plant. A small plant.
Look like ears. I can't see shit. I just read shadows. Anyhow. So his glasses are getting fucked up by the rain, which all us glasses people know. Rain and glasses do not mix. And so
why don't they have windshield wipers for glasses yet? Hermione, there's a, they, Cedric, not Cedric, Oliver calls a timeout at some point. Hermione puts a,
what, spell.
A spell on his glasses to repel water. So,
by the way, which
feels like cheating.
Feels like cheating. I think everybody feels this way.
But it's also like, in, I mean, if you want to like really dig into this philosophically, isn't wearing glasses cheating as a seeker?
Yeah.
Like, how do we know you actually have a vision problem? And those aren't magnifying everything.
Yeah, true.
So, I mean, but the ADA, which probably does not exist because it's American Disabilities Act and this is London and Wizard World, would put up quite a stink if you made people in glasses take off their glasses.
Yeah.
So, but I also think it just levels the playing field. Because
yeah. To me, it's like, if you have, glasses give you 20/20 vision, which other people already have, and other people don't have to deal with having a pool of water in front of their face.
That you just can't, yeah.
Yeah. So, game is crazy and intense. Cedric, the seeker for Hufflepuff, and Harry see the snitch. The snitch
well,
at
we
the same
see,
time.
Cedric's diving for it when Harry notices.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I fucked that up.
Yeah. So Cedric's diving for it. Harry sees what he's diving at. And now it's just like, here we go. Fucking
Harry's diving for it. And then
what the fuck?
Starts getting the chills.
He's feeling cold. He starts hearing a voice screaming like he had been hearing.
And
on
the voice
train.
Is like, no, don't kill him. Take me. Take
kill me. Please. Not Harry. Kill me.
So of course, it doesn't say that that's what it is, but I mean, based
we all
on that,
assume.
it's Harry's mom.
It's, so it's the memory
so
of his mother.
Yeah, so why is that playing? And I also think it's weird that, not serious, Lupin wasn't at the Quidditch match.
He wasn't?
Oh, no.
You know what he did see at the Quidditch match? Unrelated, but, oh, I mean, who knows? Didn't he look up in the stands and see the Death Omen?
Oh, yeah, he saw the dog.
What's that about? And if he's seeing this dog, is he imagining
it? Yeah, is he imagining it or is it actually there?
Or is it Crookshanks and it looks like a dog? Because you think Crookshanks is Sirius Black.
Or maybe this, maybe the that dark omen, that dog, maybe that's fucking Sirius Black.
Yeah, and it's like, what is real anymore?
Okay.
He basically blacks out and comes to in the infirmary.
So here are the things that I think are Sirius Black at this point. The shadow, the dog.
A shadow?
A shadow, the shadow dog, the omen dog.
Yeah.
The Crookshanks, maybe Scabbers, or Lupin.
You think one of those is Sirius Black?
Yeah, one of those has to be Sirius Black. I mean, those are our only options. I mean, I just pretty much picked a lot of
unless those are all other things and Sirius Black's still sneaking around in the castle.
Or what if fucking Sirius Black is disguised as a Dementor?
But they're like
he shapeshifted into a Dementor. I'm telling you, he is there. He is not in his form. He is in the form of something else or someone else.
That's what you think?
Yes. How else is he gonna be in the fucking castle?
I don't know. Maybe he's better at being invisible than an invisibility cloak. Maybe he's hiding out at the top of the castle and he's been there since before they brought
the
Dementors
in. The
problem
for me is I don't understand how deep magic can go and what the potential of magic is. So ultimately I'm just going on the magic that I do know. And one of them is shapeshifting.
That's true.
So game is intense. Harry blacks out, wakes up in the infirmary.
The whole team's
out,
there.
Turns out the Dementors like came onto the field, fucked Harry up, passed out.
He fell 50 feet.
50 feet. Oh, and then before he hits the ground, somebody did a spell to, like, soften his fall. Was that Dumbledore?
Oh, yes. Dumbledore was pissed about the
guys coming
about
out.
About the Dementors.
And
Dumbledore is not happy about these Dementors. Like,
yeah.
That's really fucking clear.
And Dumbledore, like, does a spell so when Harry doesn't hit the ground, like, full force.
Yeah.
And
then does some spell that, like, shoos them all away.
Yeah.
He?
And gets them out of there. So I love this part when, so Hufflepuff won because Cedric
caught the snitch. But they said that he didn't realize what had happened. And when he caught the snitch and saw what happened, he tried to go, no, 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 it shouldn't count. Let's call it off.
Yeah.
But game rules are rules. And Madame Hooch is like, you won. Deal with the kid.
Literally. I would.
But like, what a sweet man.
I would suck his Diggory.
Diggory do me.
And the Hooper.
Oh, and cherry on top. Harry asked for his broom rent.
Oh no. His broom got whomped.
It flew into the Whomping Willow.
And we know how that ends. The Whomping Willow, very unforgiving. Like my mother.
Yes. We saw what happened to the car. They drove into it last year.
And we saw what happened in my childhood.
Yeah.
Not good.
Not pretty.
You get your ass beat by a completely naked woman. It's like fighting an octopus.
Oh my God. Ew. Dear God. All right. So that's all we know. Harry is broomless now. Not sure how he's going to continue fucking Quidditch.
Oh, my theory. Remember in the first chapter how when Harry's running around
in Diagon Alley,
and he sees a broom, there's some fancy
fireball.
The fireball.
You think he's going to get a fireball?
Yep, he's getting a firebolt at some point. Calling it now, he gets a firebolt at some point. That's his replacement.
Buy his firebolt.
I mean, he's got the money to go buy it.
That's true. Why not? While you're there, why don't you get us all firebolts?
Honestly, I feel like at the end of this, Dumbledore is going to be like, you know what, kid? You've had it rough. And he'll just... Someone's giving him a new broom, or Harry's buying a new broom. Harry's got the money for it.
That's true, but Quidditch season is now. So that happening at the end of this would be like, that's great, but we already
also
lost.
Remember how Hermione fixed Harry's glasses? What if Lupin, who's like a master fucking wizard, what if he puts does a wizard spell on Harry's broken broom and brings it back to life?
Why
can't
Lupin?
We do that? Why can't Dumbledore do that? I don't know. I'm just throwing Lupin in there.
Yeah, why can't anyone do that?
Why can't Dumbledore just fix the fucking broom?
Yeah, Madame Pomfrey can grow bones, but you can't put a fucking broom back together?
It's wood.
Maybe chunks went flying so much that the assemblage of it isn't so much the problem as finding all the pieces.
I mean, she was able to make bones out of nothing.
She hands him a bag full of the broom, but I bet there's key pieces. And also, I mean, putting back together a beaten up Mustang versus a brand new Mustang, big difference in how it's going to work. So I feel like it's the same for brooms, you know?
Yeah.
And by the way, I meant the car, not the wild horse.
Yeah.
Lest anyone thinks I'm thinking about disassembling an animal. Other than the patriarchy, am I right?
She can barely get down the stairs without her joints killing. So she's not disassembling anything.
All right, you guys, that's it. Follow us at Two Filthy Nerds on Instagram and Twitter. We have the Patreon, which we should have mentioned sooner, but here we go with it. Patreon.com/Two Filthy Nerds.
We do live readings.
Yeah, we do live readings. We do high tea. We've got some more content coming for you. And early release of episodes. So, yeah.
Come meet us over there. And also follow us on our own social medias.
Yeah, JMS Comedy and
at Nicole Amy. Because I can't go on the Two Filthy Nerds social media that much because I'm scared of spoilers.
Yeah, which is honestly going to become a problem when we get to doing a different show that neither of us have seen. We're just going to have to suck up the fact that we might see spoilers.
Yeah.
I thought about that recently. Oh. But anyways, in the meantime, go follow us. Don't fucking send Nicole spoilers.
Don't. Eric Hanke.
You know who you are. All right. Stay safe.
Bye, guys.